We row the ship, but we don't steer the ship. We row the ship, but we don't command the ship.
Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Rich, Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin. Now today we'd like to introduce you to John Lindell, if you haven't met him already. He's the lead pastor of a thriving ministry at James River Church in the Springfield, Missouri area. Now we recently had a telephone conversation with him, and he's sharing why, after 30 years of ministry, he's written his first book. It's entitled Soul Set Free, Why Grace is More Liberating Than You Believe.
For those who might not be familiar with you and your work, could you share a little bit about your ministry today?
My wife, Debbie, and I, we came to the church when it had been going about 8 months. They had about 85 people. They're meeting in a shopping center. Today, the church would have a weekly attendance of about 16,000 people. We've got four different sites. And it's been really a wonderful thing to watch what God has done. People at times will ask me, you know, what happened that made the church what it is? And, you know, here's what I tell people, because this is really the truth. When we came, one of the things you could sense upon those 85 people meeting in the shopping center was that God's hand was uniquely on them. You know, there are times when God does things for his own will and good pleasure that defy human qualification or quantification. He just breathes on something. That's really the story at James River. I mean, you could sense the presence of the Lord when we came, and we just kind of tried to stay out of his way through the years.
Mm.
The church is really, it's a vibrant group of people. They're sincere about serving the Lord. They're quick to serve. We've got a weekly prayer meeting on Wednesday night. So it's a church that's been built on prayer, and then on Sunday, verse-by-verse exposition of the scriptures. So over 28 years, they love the word. They hear about seeking God. That we're seeing God do a wonderful work in the lives of people as a result.
Oh, that's so exciting.
You know, you mentioned, Pastor John, that you stayed out of the way, that you let the Lord lead. Isn't that so important to let God lead? When he called his disciples, he said, "Follow me and I will." And so isn't that an important concept to truly keep back and let God do the work and show you the way?
I mean, I really think that's much of ministry. I think we can get ourselves in his way if we're not careful and sort of walk humbly before him and to recognize that he's the great shepherd, that I'm just, as a pastor, an under-shepherd, and that it's not my church. It's his church. And he's the captain of the ship. And, you know, Paul says this is how men should regard us, as servants of Christ. And that word servant that he uses there in the Greek, the only time he uses it is under rowers, it's galley slaves. We row the ship, but we don't steer the ship. We row the ship, but we don't command the ship. And I think if we can keep that heart and that mindset, it makes a lot of things much easier and certainly, I think, facilitates the moving of the Lord in a place.
Yes, that's so wonderful. Something we all need to remember on a daily basis. Now, you've written a book called Soul Set Free, and in your book, you talk about your own personal journey of discovery and your quest to find freedom for your soul. Well, we'd love to hear about it and about you as we meet you. Let's start with a little bit about your background, such as where you're from, how the Lord entered your life, and how you were called into ministry.
I grew up on a farm in eastern Colorado and was from a large farm family. I was number five of six kids, had incredible parents. We were Presbyterian, but didn't really go to church. And first, my sisters and my mom were saved. And ultimately, I made a commitment to the Lord when I was 17 years old. As a result of that, I mean, went to Oral Roberts University while I was there, was called into the ministry, finished up my education, met my wife, we're high school sweethearts. So we dated through high school and got married after my sophomore year in college.
Let me just ask you, you mentioned that you became a Christian when you were 17, but you had been sort of raised in the church. Is it when you were 17 that the Lord really opened your eyes to being born again and that you would have a relationship with him?
Absolutely. So I was born again at age 17, and, you know, had a wonderful walk with the Lord, I think the thing that really became an awareness to me over time in my ministry, and especially I think was startling to me, was that I'd been pastoring a mega church and God was using the ministry, yet I just had this gnawing feeling that though I could define grace theologically and I could explain grace, I didn't really understand it internally.
Uh-huh.
And I really think there's a lot of Christians that are there. And you know what happens, I think, to a lot of people along the way is our view of our Heavenly Father is very much conditioned and colored by the view we have of our Earthly Father. For example, in my circumstance or situation, my dad was an honorable man, was a hardworking man. He was old school, though. And so because of his responsibilities and I think somewhat his own upbringing, was a bit emotionally distant and detached. You know, when you come to the Father, I think you know, in my case, I would bring some of that in. 6 months before he died, one of my sisters said to me, I want to ask you a question. Has dad ever told you he loved you? And I'm like, no, but like, I know he loves me. But my dad died before I got a chance. So anyway,
that's
you kind
tough.
Of start
yes.
thinking about all that. It began to dawn on me, you know, my distance with God certainly is wrapped up somewhat in that.
We're visiting with Pastor John Lindell, the lead pastor at James River Church in the Springfield, Missouri area, and we'll return to our telephone conversation with him in just a moment.
You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to connect with you. You can friend us on Facebook or post on Instagram or tweet us on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes. And also, you can email us at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501. Now, let's return to our talk with Pastor Lindell as he talks about grace and God's deep compassion and love for us.
To understand grace and to really understand what Paul is talking about in Romans is to tap into an understanding not only of what Jesus did and not only of what the Spirit does, but of this incredible love of the Father and how much God the Father loved, how in eternity before time began, God chose us, Ephesians chapter 1. And I love the way the Message puts it. What delight he took in planning for not only our creation, but our salvation. And Romans talks about our glorification. And so what really happened in all of this was just simply this sense of coming to terms with the great love of the Father and understanding theologically all that God did to not only plan for my salvation, but to save me. It was like an explosion in my heart of understanding grace, and it was kind of the culmination of a journey of recognizing I don't understand grace. I approach God with kind of a works righteousness in terms of this. You know, what happens to people is they can, in Christianity, they get saved, and somebody comes along and says, you know what, you want to grow in Christ, a good thing to do is read your Bible. Yeah, that's a good thing. I'll do that. And then another good thing to do is pray, and that's a good thing. And all those are good things. And then, you know, you want to be involved in church, and you want to do this or do that. We take the things that are cool of discipleship, things to help us grow in Christ. And if we're not careful, they become rules of discipleship. And we begin to feel like our relationship with God is based on our ability to do the things. And so if we're doing really good on all the things we think we need to be doing, then we feel real good about our relationship with God. If we're not doing so good, then we begin to feel not as good about our relationship with God. And all of that is a complete misunderstanding of grace. So all those things together, it's why I wrote the book, because I think there are people who have issues understanding the Father's love. I think there's other people who have a rule-based Christianity. It's all about what they can do. They've forgotten it's really only about what Christ has done. And then there's people who don't understand the scope and the scale of salvation. For them, salvation is Jesus died for my sins, which is true and is wonderful, but doesn't go nearly far enough in our understanding. Not only that he died for my sins, he died for all my sins, past, present, and future. Not only that he died for my sins, but he's clothed me in his righteousness, a righteousness not my own, so that when God sees me, he sees me as righteous as Jesus. What that does, the ramifications of that in my relationship with him and the peace that now is there relationally with God and the intimacy that comes as a result of that. All those things are things that I think if believers could understand, or if the church, people who left the church because they said, you know what, I just can't do this anymore. They left the church, whatever church, because they said, I just can't do it. I feel like such a failure. But when they understand it's not about what I do, it's about what he's done.
Right.
It's about his great love for me. It changes how you walk with God, how you view God, certainly how you love God.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You partly answered this question, but I wanted to ask you, you know, after all these years of ministry, this is your premier book, your first book. And so was that a compelling desire within you regarding seeking and searching and communicating about God's grace and love and the love of the Father? Was that what compelled you to now write this book?
I would say this, the messages as I preach through Romans, and I think the people in our congregation, as they're reading the book, are like, oh my goodness, you never told us any of this was happening in you. But when they were hearing the messages, they could tell something was happening. But I didn't share a lot of personal story with it because, you know, I'm a fairly private person, honestly, but I could see that Romans, the messages were transforming people. And I was getting emails from people saying, if only I'd heard this years ago. Why do preachers not tell us this? I heard this over and over again. For the first time, I understand why the gospel is such incredible news. And I would hear that over and over again if people say, oh, you got to write a book. And I think, oh, books, there are many. The world doesn't need another book. But at the same time, people are like, oh, come on. It's helped us. It can help people. And so, you know, that created an openness. I had one individual, a college professor. He started transcribing my sermons word for word and handed them to me and said, I'm doing this because I think you need to write a book. Mm. And so there was all kinds of things like that. Then honestly, God just kind of opened the doors in a lot of unique ways. Again, I wasn't one to push the door down, and things just kind of came together. And in retrospect, I think, wow, if you're going to write only one book, that it would be on grace and the grace of God and his love for people. Man, what better topic could there be than that?
We've been visiting over the phone with John Lindell, the lead pastor of James River Church in Springfield, Missouri. He's been sharing about the book he's just written after 30 years of ministry entitled Soul Set Free, Why Grace is More Liberating Than You Believe. It's available online and at most book outlets, or simply go to their website at soulsetfree.live.
Also, if you've enjoyed this feature and would like to listen again, or to hear a feature you've missed, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast. You can also friend us on Facebook at Connections with Rich and Bobby, follow us on Instagram, and tweet us on Twitter.
You can also contact us by email at connect2richandbobby, and that's Bobby with an I, @gmail.com, or write us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501.
This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So we thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word.
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.